Could it be gravitational?
I think it's electromagnetic, Wunderlich said. Electromagnetic force is orders of magnitude stronger than gravitational.
Yes, true. And Saturn's electromagnetic field is very powerful.
And it extends way out beyond the orbits of the major moons.
True.
We must calculate the energies involved. Chris Cardenas butted in. From what Nadia tells me, this also explains the electromagnetic surges from Saturn that have been causing power outages here.
A useful byproduct, Urbain granted.
But his attention was entirely focused on Wunderlich's news. He forgot that he was hosting this reception. He forgot about the party altogether. He even forgot that he needed to ask Aeta to go down to his stranded Alpha on the surface of Titan.
4 May, 2096, night. Some party, Tavallera said, as he strolled slowly with Holly up the gently rising walkway toward Athens. Enjoy yourself? She asked.
Yeah, sure.
Holly gazed up at the lights over their heads, unwinking pinpoints, the stars of this inside-out habitat of theirs. They ambled along the lane, passing through pools of light from the street lamps, then into stretches of shadow, walking slowly, as if reluctant to get home.
The ship that brought the scientists will be leaving in a week, Tavallera said at last.
Nadia is going back to Earth with them, said Holly.
She'll be back.
I guess. Tavallera stopped and reached for Holly's shoulders, turning her to face him. They were in the shadows between street lamps, their features barely discernible.
I could go back on that ship, he said. I checked with Everly. He said the new morality will pay half my fare, and the habitat will kick in the other half.
Sudden anger flared in Holly's gut. Everly, he'll pay to get rid of you just to hurt me, she said.
Would it hurt you if I left?
Of course it would.
Really?
His voice brimmed with joyous disbelief. She grabbed him by the ears and kissed him. Raoul, you can be a real dim-dum. I love you.
I love you too, Holly, he said.
Even in the nighttime darkness, she could see the toothy grin splitting his face. He looks so super when he smiles.
Then she thought, I ought to make him smile more.
Holly, he said, his smile withering, replaced by dead seriousness.
Holly, will you come with me? Back to Earth? For real?
She didn't hesitate a moment. Back to Earth or anywhere else, Raoul. Anywhere.
You will?
His voice jumped an octave. For real, she said. Totally certain. I've never seen Earth. I was born there, and I lived my first life there, but I don't remember any of that.
I'll take you to the Grand Canyon, Tavallera said, suddenly bursting with enthusiasm. The Taj Mahal! The pyramids!
I want to see West Texas. Pancho and I were born there.
Most of it's under the Sea of Mexico.
Then we can go scuba diving.
We could scuba through Manhattan, too, and Miami.
Cosmic!
Then you'll come on the ship with me?
Holly took a breath. I can't go until the elections, Raoul.
Oh. His voice fell. That.
Don't sweat it, Holly said happily. Malcolm's going to beat me by a landslide, and then I'll be free to go wherever you want.
But if you win...
No chance of that, she assured him, and herself. As soon as the election returns are counted, we can snag a ship and zip back to Earth together.
Together, he breathed.
First ship out after the elections.
He murmured, we can get married back home. My parents would like that.
So would I. They started walking up the sloping path again. Tavallera blurted,
but what if you win?
I won't.
You could. You got more than 7,000 signatures on your petition. What if they all vote for you?
They won't. Berkowitz has been running polls. This morning's shows me behind. 62-32 with 6% undecided.
You could quit, Tavallera suggested.
Resign.
Come with me now. Right away.
Holly shook her head. I wouldn't give Malcolm the satisfaction. Let him sweat out the vote count. He's going to win, but I won't let him win by default. Tavallera said nothing.
I mean,
I wouldn't mind losing by a decent percentage, but this is cosmic. With a small shrug, Tavallaro replied, "People want to mine the rings. They want to get rich, I guess."
If she wins, I'll never see her again, Tavallaro thought. Even if she loses, she could change her mind and stay here. As if she could read his mind, Holly said, "Don't stress out on it, Raoul. I'm going to get my butt whooped so bad on election day that I won't ever want to show my face in this habitat again." He wished he believed her. "You think Eberle really talked with people at Cellini?" he mused aloud. "And the rock rats?" "He said he did. But did he really? Maybe he was just saying that to impress the voters." Holly brightened a little. "I could check." He felt happy to see her smile, at least a little. Still, as they walked back through the pools of light and shadow toward their apartments, Tavallaro wished he'd kept his big mouth shut.
Edouard Urbain grew more nervous and fretful as the reception dwindled down. People were leaving in couples or larger groups. The laughter was dying away. The last drinks were finished. As the host of the party, Urbain had torn himself away from Wonderly at last, and at Jean-Marie's prompting, posted himself by the path that led back to Athens, so he could bid a formal good night to the departing guests. Human waiters from the bistro were piling emptied glassware onto the little flat-topped robots that scooted back to the restaurant in Athens. Gaeta had not yet left the party. He was strolling slowly with Cardenas along the edge of the lake. Urbain saw him bend down, pick up a pebble, and hurl it into the water. Ripples spread on the still surface, circles within circles. How like a little boy, Urbain thought. There must be much of the adventurous little boy in him still. "Are you going to ask him?" His wife's voice was soft, almost a whisper, but yet it made Urbain's insides jump. He nodded nervously. "Yes, I must." "And now is the moment," Jean-Marie said. "Yes," he repeated. "I know." He took his wife's outstretched hand, and together they walked down the grassy slope to the water's edge. Cardenas noticed them approaching. Smiling, she said, "A lovely party, Edouard. Jean-Marie, you must be proud of your husband." "I am," said Jean-Marie. "He is a man of many accomplishments." Gaeta grinned lazily at them. This was better than that New Year's Eve bash. Urbain felt his cheeks grow warm. "Thank you." Cardenas glanced at her wristwatch. "Well, we'd better get some sleep. Tomorrow's a working day." "Yes," Urbain murmured while his mind raced, trying to find some opening, some way to get around to what he wanted to ask. Jean-Marie understood. She asked Cardenas, "How is your work on the new antenna system going?" "Very smoothly," Cardenas replied. "I'll be able to deliver the nanos to you by the end of the week at most. Only a couple of final tests left to do." "They will be safe?" Jean-Marie asked. "That's what we'll be testing for. The nanos are all programmed and capable of building a new antenna on the lander. Now we're making certain they'll switch themselves off and go inert once the task is finished." "Excellent," Urbain said. "I'm curious, though," Cardenas went on, "how do you intend to get the package down to your lander?" Urbain coughed silently. "We know Alpha's position. We have her under constant surveillance." Gaeta said, "So?" Taking a deep breath, like a man about to plunge over a precipice, Urbain replied, "I need you to take the nanomachines to Alpha." For an instant, neither Gaeta nor Cardenas replied. Urbain blinked once and felt his wife's hand tensing in his. Gaeta laughed. "Now you want me to go down to the surface? No shit." "No," Cardenas snapped. "Manny's not going anywhere. He's retired." "But this is important," Urbain said. "Wait a minute," Gaeta said, a lopsided smile stretching across his beat-up features. "When I first came here, it was to go down there, to be the first man to set foot on Titan's surface, and you refused. I thought you'd pop your cork." "That was for a stunt, a publicity adventure. What I ask you now is for science. You said you didn't want to take the chance of contaminating the life forms, And you, Dr. Cardenas, Urbain countered, turning toward the nanotechnology expert, told me that you could decontaminate